Drunk Brother.
What is up, family, food, and other friends of Jay's? Whatever that's called. I don't know how they say it. I don't know. Man, how's everybody doing? What a wonderful day it could be. Or wonderful day it is. I'm sorry. What's going on, everybody? Everybody, say what's up to. Hey, Lincoln. Hey, Lincoln. What's up, man? I know. Yeah, let's do it, Linky. What's up, everybody? I mean, as you know, Linky's totally, you know, hey, he's got his own mic. He's always hanging out, and I just figure why not? Just one day, he just started talking.
What's up? I didn't mean to do that. What's up, man? Okay, go ahead. All right, man, I got a funny story for you guys. Okay, go ahead, Dad.
Thank you, Lincoln. All right, no. Today, it's going to be a wonderful day of, you know what, I don't know. But if anybody wants to call in and make it more interesting, I am all ears. That not being a joke at all. Today is going to be kind of fun. I mean, you know, it's always fun. Lincoln kicking it. Bailey right there. You know. Bailey's my other dog. That he's he's a soldier, dude. He's been through a lot. I mean, when I say a lot, I mean, man. And my house is really awkward in the sense that I got two male, very dominating male dogs, and me, and then Sarah, which we don't still have yours. Places in this whole thing. We're not gonna. All right, today. Has anybody heard? This is not one that I know a lot about. A little bit. But, I mean, it's, you know, we're going to learn about it today. I don't know. You know, you hear about caves. You know, caves are like the ultimate dark dwelling, cold. It's always kind of, you're always, you know, you're real hesitant to go inside. I mean, you hear, I'm one of the idiots that just goes running in, flailing, like, ah! You know, stepping on snakes and shit like that. But I'm a moron. It's just, you know. But most regular normal people are kind of like, oh, I don't know if I want to go in there, but you go first and I'll follow you. That is kind of how I take. Yeah, let's, all right. Let's dive right into this. The Cave of the Murderous Witch. Murderous, as in murder, like a murdering bitch. I didn't say bitch, I said witch. Meet the Bell family. It says, you gotta go back for a second, okay. This odd story begins in 1817.
Wait. What?
Yes.
1817?
Yes, 1817.
What year is it?
It's 2024, Lincoln. I mean, you know, give
yeah, us dogs don't, we don't really count out years. So
you do seven.
We go 7 years for the one.
Oh. Yeah. Well, okay.
Something above.
Yeah, okay, thank you. All right. This odd story begins in 1817. Yeah, Link, 1817. When John Bell Sr. was inspecting a field on his farm in Robertson County, Tennessee, if you're not familiar. He encountered a strange beast that he described. He described it as a dog-like with rabbit-like head.
Wait. Dog-like.
Yes, dog-like.
With a rabbit-like head.
A rabbit-like head. Yes. I know. Shut up and listen. John allegedly shot at the creature, and it fled into the woods. Man, you know that's not a good outcome. Shortly afterward, the Bell family began to experience odd phenomena in their home. What began as soft knocks quickly turned into what sounded like an animal biting or gnawing on the structure of the house. Now, you always know that that's going to be...
Right, hitting the house.
Yeah.
Bigfoot.
Yes, that's what I thought.
We were camping one time, and I heard all this This day, and me and Danny, we had to stand to go look.
Rocks? Yeah.
We saw things sitting up trying to take a bath in this pond. I was like, what the fuck?
Bigfoot?
Then I realized it was just you, Dad.
Hey. Oh, when I was swimming.
You
thank you.
In the water.
Thank you, Lincoln.
Okay.
I pushed you first, Dick. The Bell family scoured the building for rodents, but they never found anything. The activity didn't stop there. What sounded like rocks hitting the house, could be heard at all hours of the day and night. Soon, it began to sound like rocks were being thrown from inside the house. Once again, the family searched and turned up nothing. From there, the activity escalated to personal attacks, most of which were centered on John Bell and his youngest daughter, Betsy, who was frequently pushed, grabbed, and slapped by an unseen force.
Wait. Yeah. I know what you're going to say.
What?
It's time to fucking move.
I know.
Let's see if we're getting out of here, guys. It's unforeseen things slapping me in the balls. I gotta go.
Oh, thank you. I know. Go lick him somewhere else. With nowhere else to turn, John Bell asked his neighbors, Mr. and Miss James Johnston. Now, if they had any ideas about what was occurring, maybe they could give light on the situation. After spending some time in the Bell home and witnessing the unusual activity themselves, the Johnstons convinced the Bells that an investigation should be conducted. Reluctantly, John Bell agreed, and several family friends were invited over. The investigation begins. Incredibly, thumping sounds were heard throughout the house when the investigation began. Soon the thumps and groans began to sound like someone growling or clearing his or her throat. And then it happened. The entity began to speak. It said it wanted to prevent Betsy Bell from marrying a local boy named Joshua Gardner. It also said that it wanted to kill John Bell. That is time to move. I'm serious. Now that when things start speaking, particularly they're mentioning when to kill you, I don't know. I'm not the brightest, teenager, whatever, but yeah, anyway. When asked why it wanted to break up Betsy and Joshua and kill John, the voice remained silent. However, one night, the voice said that it was the spirit of Kate Batts, an eccentric neighbor who had disliked John Bell because of some continuous business dealings between them in the past. Whether or not it was actually the spirit of Kate Batts is unknown, but people began to refer to it as Kate. I don't know. Yeah. First name basis with the ghost. Kate would engage in long-winded discussions with those present and would often quote from scripture, a rather odd thing for a malevolent spirit to do, honestly. She also seemed to know exactly what people were doing at any given time, even if they were miles away. Is that your dog voice?
That was just his wife.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Thanks, Lincoln. That's what I figured. It's not the ghost, dude. That's a good one, Lincoln. But your ball, you're speaking in your real dog voice. Okay. Everybody, hang on, Lincoln. Lincoln's speaking dog. I'll help you out in a minute. I will. I don't know. On a first name basis, I've got to say it's maybe time to go. Kate, So Kate would engage in... No, Lincoln, you have to stop. Did you get your ball? Did you get it good? Yeah. You gotta play over there? I thought we were doing this podcast. Are you okay? We're going back and forth. Right on. Yeah. Now, Kate would engage, quotes from scripture. Yeah, a rather odd thing, yes. She also seemed to know exactly what people were doing at any given time, even if they were miles away. Now, that'll tell you something. Reports also suggest that Kate sometimes seemed to be drunk, as she would slur her speech and swing batty songs. Isn't that amazing? A lot's happened since 18, you know, hundreds. Yeah, God, could you imagine what the fuck they... All right. Soon, word of the Bell Witch spread throughout the region. Wow. And people came from all over to speak to her. One legend states that when General Andrew Jackson and his men passed through the area, the future president decided that he wanted to hear her for himself. Now, I'm pretty sure she didn't have much good things to say to him, but the witch apparently had other ideas, as she reportedly caused Jackson's wagons to stop right at the Bell property line. More than 30 minutes would pass before the entity allowed them to continue. Yes.
It didn't allow them to pass. What
did you put up a gate? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, how did it not let them through? That's my, I don't know. You know, I think she just put her hand out and said, "You shut up." No, that was a movie. That was a, never mind. I was, I don't, yeah. Upon arriving at the Bell residence, the witch cried out that there were two frauds in Jackson's entourage and that she would expose them. However, Jackson and his men left quickly the following morning without Kate ever naming the frauds. Regarding his experience with the entity, Jackson supposedly declared, "I'd rather fight the entire British army than deal with the Bell Witch." Oh, and that my friend, is that's a real statement from a real president. Holy balls. And you guys thought that, I think, was that for me? Oh, that was... I know. Thank you. I know. I know. Shut up, Lincoln. Hey, thank you, Bob. I know. And you thought that I was... Well, as you would think that maybe it stopped, it did not. The torment continues. The activity occurred at the Bell House for almost 3 full years. And while Betsy was certainly under constant attack, John Bell bore the brunt of the witch's anger. From time to time, he would fall deathly ill, his tongue swelling to the point where he could barely speak or swallow, and no medications helped. Holy shit, it's gotta be real. Well, I'm just saying. But after some time, John would simply recover and seem fine. Until the next time, he would be stricken with a mysterious malady. All the while, the witch would laugh and taunt John, claiming that one day he would be dead. Well, yeah, that's not a... I don't know. Like I said, now if you move and she's talking about shit from miles away, I don't think that you can get away from her. Such as that. On December 20th, 1820, John Bell was found dead in his bed. Toad and didn't know it. After hearing Kate's maniacal laughter and shouts that she had finally done it, the Bell family found a new medicine bottle containing a mysterious substance. Now, don't you think that maybe like,
Wait.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I would say it was probably his wife. that's not nice. You want me to, you gotta drop that link and everybody, nope, you gotta drop it. You know how it goes. I know.
Take it.
Well, he can go get it. Well, you know, he's still got to play like a dog. So after finding this new medicine bottle with a mysterious substance, John's son placed his finger in the bottle and then got a family cat to lick the substance off. And that's pretty shitty.
Man, that's what everybody needs to do. Give the cat some medicine and watch them die.
Almost immediately, the cat went into convulsions and died. At that moment, it became clear to everyone the witch had poisoned John Bell. It's all real. When Bell was laid to rest in the family cemetery, some people reported hearing the Bell witch laugh out loud at the fact that, well, she had succeeded in her mission to kill him. What a bitch. Unfinished business. But Kate's work wasn't done. She continued to focus on breaking up Betsy and Joshua Gardner until finally, in the spring of 1821, Betsy broke off the relationship. After that, the Bell witch left. But she promised to return in 7 years to check up on the family. You know what that is? That's called the seven-year itch. She went off with some other dude 7 years later, knew it was going to happen, and the day did she return. I'm just saying. I forget. Not everybody is smart as I am. But that is what I would say. Lincoln, no. Come on. Go. That's where I would go with it. But maybe not. According to legend, Kate did return in 1828. Holy shit. This time, visiting the home of John Bell Jr. Wow. She apparently stayed for several weeks and had many casual conversations with John Jr. But she refused to explain why she needed to kill John Sr. or break up Betsy and Joshua. Before she left again, she promised to return in 107 years. Wow, there's a... Yeah, man, maybe your 7 year itch stuck around. However, 1935 came and went without the Bell witch making an appearance. Or maybe she never really left at all. Down into the cave, located on the... Located on the former property of John Bell is a large cave many people believe that the Bell witch fled to. Now, this cave, when she was not actively haunting the Bell family, would disappear to this cave. Others believe that the cave represents some sort of portal through which she would travel. The cave, which is open for tourists to this day, is still a hotbed of paranormal activity, such as strange sounds, moving shadows, and eerie mists that appear in photographs, like every other dark, cold cave. Now, that's not what I wasn't going to go with, but... So if you're looking for a chance to encounter a murderous entity, stop by the Bell Witch Cave, but beware, if your last name is Bell, I know my jokes, they're just manifesting today. It's wonderful. So if you're in Tennessee, stop by and go to the Bell Witch Cave. Wow, well, you know what? Thank you. I'll be here all day, I guess. Yeah, so that's, I dig that story. Again, I'm not really all positive about. Well, okay. So that's a fun one. So let's try. There's one called King's Tavern. The love triangle and murder produce a spirit that resides at King Tavern in Natchez, Mississippi. All right. Well, from Fort to Tavern, obviously this is earlier in life, the old Natchez Trace, a 500-mile trail stretching from Natchez, Mississippi, to about 17 miles southwest of Nashville, Tennessee, was cut by Native Americans centuries before Europeans arrived and was used as a crude highway to transport goods and people. It also attracted miscreants in the form of highwaymen, and during colonial times, robberies and murders were common on the trail. Nevertheless, the path remained popular, because that's what I knew. The business catering to travelers sprouted up along. Sprouted up along out of necessity. One such enterprise was King's Tavern. Originally built as a blockhouse for a fort, the building was acquired in 1799 by a wealthy New Yorker, Richard King, who turned it into a bar and inn. Hey, you never fail in a bar. Drink to that. It was a great success, but it would also bring drama into the king's life. What a mother of Jesus. Cheating ways. Despite having a loving wife, King succumbed to the oldest temptations when he hired a young woman named Madeline as a server and subsequently seduced her. Attractive and industrious, though, Madeline was only too happy to become the rich man's mistress. Boing, boing. that's not funny. They tried really hard. Their trust didn't last long, however. When King's irate wife learned about the affair, which is always going to be the case, I'm just saying. Old lady, they always come and take it back, man, you know. Yeah, I wouldn't yell at that one too hard. What occurred next is open to debate. Some believe that Miss King hired highwaymen to murder Madeline, while others say she performed the deed herself. Either way, Madeline vanished without a trace. But without a body, there was no official murder. So, nothing further came of King's wife's permanent solution to her husband's tawdry affair. Mystery solved. In 1932, King's Tavern underwent significant renovations. While workers were repairing the fireplace in the pub's main room, they were horrified to find three human skeletons. Two male and one female. Oh, shit. Well, hidden behind all the bricks. You know that that can't be good. Now, I've never gone to the case of being so mad to murder anybody, but man, you hear about these stories about people putting people in walls, and man, I feel guilty about burying a dog in the ground by itself. I'm just saying, like, I don't know, man, that's pretty. Now, the identities of the men were anyone's guess, but many believe that the female was Madeline, the young temptress who'd been done by the jealous Miss King more than a century prior. When a Spanish dagger, a weapon that was quite popular during colonial times, was discovered nearby, the theory became even more plausible. The bodies were buried in a local cemetery and the remodeling job was completed. A mysterious chapter in the tavern's history had been put to rest. Or had it? Wah! I'm just saying, manifestations, they happen. After the renovation, apparitions and other unexplained phenomena arrived like waves on a beach. I said beach. Shadowy figures are often spotted walking up the staircase or passing directly through them. Oh, I hate it when that happens. A spectral man wearing a top hat moved freely about the tavern, sporting a black jacket and tie string. His garb was consistent with that of the era in which the murders occurred. Members of the waitstaff who witnessed the apparition felt that he embodied evil, and many believed that he was involved in the murders, either as a perpetrator or a victim. You know, you think about ghosts. I would be pretty aggravatedly pissed off and fuck with people if I were a ghost. I mean, I don't know. I've never been. I'm sure I've been. Why not? You know what? There's probably one sitting right now. Actually, a couple of things around my house have been, you just shrug it off to, you know, whatever. But My dogs, they sure as hell don't. But ghosts of grown men aren't the only spirits lingering at the tavern. The unsettling sound of a crying baby. Did you hear the way that was not.
What the fuck was that?
Oh, man. The unsettling sound of a crying baby has also been reported. Now that you always hear a baby crying is always creepy. When they're not. And small footprints, presumably left by a woman, appear from out of nowhere on freshly mopped floors. That is an issue. Many believe that Madeline is responsible for the footprints, which usually move across the room directly toward startled employees. Madeline's ghost has also been blamed for spilling pitchers onto the floor, knocking jars from shelves, turning faucets and lights on and off, and opening doors. I hate it when that happens, you know, when you look over and the door just opens. When her name is called out in protest, she has been known to slam doors. You beaches is what I'm talking about. Someone or something more sinister. I love that. You know, in all things that, or was it more sinister? Someone or something more sinister likes to forcefully throw dishes through the air and apply pressure around the necks or on the chest of visitors. I hate it when that happens. And again, what time is it, Lincoln?
It is time to move. Get the fuck out.
In the fireplace where the bodies were discovered occasionally emits heat as if it is burning wood, even though no fire is lit and no firewood is present. That's a problem as well. I hate when that shit happens. Could this be a final plea for justice from a trio cheated out of life? Yes, that is exactly what it is. I would take that tavern and, well, you know what? You could just capitalize off of it and make some money. I don't know, or not. Who wants to be a billionaire?
I am a billionaire, motherfucker! No, Lincoln. Oh, I fucked that up.
Oh, it's not. Oh, man. Could you imagine all the, pressure of being a billionaire? God, wouldn't that suck? I mean, really. Yeah. Okay. You always hear, anybody here, you always hear about these mysterious orbs, right? Usually in the woods. Well, no. My grandfather said that he claimed that he was chased by one of these orbs once. I mean, yeah, in Arkansas, we have this cabin. There's a lot of land out there, you know. And he was chased down by one of these orbs, apparently. I mean, I don't think it did anything because, well, my mom and I was born. But that's what I was told. Yeah. Anyway, so I see how shitty I am at this. Now, if Texas were a dartboard, the city of Brownwood would be at the center of the bullseye. Maybe that's how aliens saw it, too. Who knows? Brownwood is a peaceful little city with about 20,000 residents and a popular trains museum. A frontier town, at one time, it became the trade center of Texas when the railroad arrived in 1885.
What's up with the 1880 shit?
I don't know, but that's when a lot of crazy, cool shit happened. Since then, the city has maintained a peaceful lifestyle. Even the massive tornado that struck Brownwood in 1976 left no fatalities. The place just has that small-town kind of feeling. Was it an invader from the sky? Well, in July 2002, however, the city's peace was broken. Brownwood made international headlines when a strange metal orb fell from space, landed on the Colorado River, and washed up just south of town. Wow. The orb looked Like a battered metal saucer ball. Well, I don't know what a metal saucer ball but looks like, but, you know, get that imagination rolling. It was about a foot across, and it weighed just under 10 pounds. Experts described it as a titanium sphere. When it was x-rayed, it revealed a second inner sphere with tubes and wires wrapped inside. Oh, is this like that? What is it, that filthy? Lincoln, come on. That's all that anybody knows or claims to know. No one is sure what the object is, and no one has claimed responsibility for it. The leading theory is that it's a cryogenic tank from some kind of spacecraft from Earth, used to store a small amount of liquid hydrogen or helium for cooling purposes. Wow. Others have speculated that it's a bomb, a spying device, or even a weapon used to combat UFOs. Really? Well, it's not alone. The Brownwood Sphere isn't unique. A similar object landed in Kingsbury, Texas, in 1997, and was quickly confiscated by the Air Force for tests and analysis. So far, no further announcements have been made. Well, that's a shocker. I mean,
kind of fucking new.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. You know, anytime the Air Force comes in, and if anybody ever watches YouTube, check out the Y-Files. Awesome, awesome show. I love the dude. And Hecklefish. He's a man. But they told a story of a sphere that I don't remember what it's called. We'll do a show on it though. I'll look it up. It's a pretty cool story. Or check it out on the Y-Files. Great show if you haven't checked it out. Now, of course, the Air Force probably has a lot to keep it busy. But about 200 UFOs are reported each month, and Texas is among the top three states where UFOs are seen. But until anything is known for sure, those in Texas at night should keep your eyes open in the skies. I was trying to rhyme there, but I didn't do it. So, yeah. What I was saying, who wants the constructive, of a billionaire? According to legend, more than $2 billion in gold may be hidden on Oak Island. You know what? I didn't skip through that because I'm not sure. The Oak Island thing, you know what, you can watch the History Channel on that one, and you'll get all the answers. Myrtle's Plantation, a blast from the past. Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and boasting more than 200 years of history, the Myrtle's Plantation is a beautiful and sprawling old home in St. Francisville, Louisiana. Now used as a bed and breakfast mansion, has seen its share of drama, including romance, death, and even murder. What better sounding for a good old Southern style haunting? Here we go. Tales to tell, oh, wouldn't we guess? In 1796, David Bradford built what would eventually become the Myrtle's Plantation, 650 acres of land about 30 miles outside of Baton Rouge. At the time, the house, which was originally known as Laurel Grove, was much smaller than it is today. In 1834, Ruffin Sterling purchased and remodeled the plantation, doubling its size and renaming it after the many myrtle trees on the property. Well, I would have never guessed. I love smoking cigarettes. Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
They fucking stink, dude.
Yeah, I know. Over the years, many people lived and died at the Myrtle's Plantation, so it's not surprising that the place is home to a few restless spirits. Whether it's strange noises, disembodied voices, apparitions, or reflections in a haunted mirror, plenty of paranormal activities can be found at Myrtle's Plantation. Sounds like my house. God damn, I'm almost way too loud. Yeah, sounds like my house. Oh, wait, those are just my dogs. Never mind. Over the years, many people lived and died at the Myrtle's Plantation, so Yeah, that's what I said. In 2005, investigators from the television show Ghost Hunters paid a visit to the mansion and documented several strange phenomena. Thermal imaging video cameras recorded the torso of something not really present, as well as a shadow that appeared to be moving up and down. The team also caught the unexplained movement of a lamp across the table. That's freaky. Over the course of a few minutes, it moved several inches with no help from anyone in the room. Who doesn't believe in... Just hang on for a second. Who doesn't believe that ghosts don't exist? I mean, really. And, you know, I've heard people sort of flat out be like, dude, ghosts do not exist. It is not... And right on. You know, I would I'm never going to tell anybody they are wrong or right. They're believing whatever, because I've not ever been in anyone's shoes. I don't know what's happened to them. I don't know if they've had Lincoln around or not. moving on, I'm sorry. If you visit the Myrtles Plantation, be sure to check out the Myrtles Mirror. It is said to reflect the spirit of someone, I don't know who died in front of it. People have repeatedly seen handprints on the mirror and orbs or apparitions in photos of it. Although many stories say that the image... Although many stories say that the images belong to one of the plantation's early owners and her children, all of whom were poisoned, the mirror was actually brought to the house in the 1970s. If it is indeed haunted, the ghost may not be from the home originally. Well, balls. It is. Yeah, at the top of the hour. So, I will be back with this story, but I'm going to take a break with leaving a short little story for you all. Another one. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back. Oh. I see. That's pretty fucked up. God, the human race, you know. I'm just saying it. As in all the time. God, Lincoln, I swear. That sucks. That sucks. I doubt it. Thank you.
Okay, wait. No sound. I wonder how long that's been. Fucking balls. This hasn't been long.
Well, okay. Anybody know how long the sound has not been working? Oh no. Paul, I appreciate it, brother. Now, is this mic work? Okay. What up, GJR Radio? How's it going? Hey, is there any volume or any sound? All right, well. All right. Break is over. Well, I mean, you know, I took a small break. Always at the half bottom of the hour. I just got noticed that my sound was not working. I don't know how long it was off, or how long it was non-sounding, but I was in the middle of a story. But again, I don't know how long it was off. Hey, thank you much. I was in the middle of a myrtle plantation, a blast from the past, a story untold that nobody wants to hear about. I'm just kidding. We always make it fun around here. Anyway. Let me unclear my Lincoln. Thank you, Lincoln. Did you say hi? Did you say hi, everybody?
What is up, everybody? My dad's an idiot, but don't say it out loud. Okay, go on.
Lincoln, can I just thank you? So I'm not real sure how much time was going where I didn't get sound. Move over. So I don't know how much of this story is on. Lincoln, get back. Come on, man. You use your own mic. Go over there. Lay down for a minute. Lay down right there. You have your mic sitting right there.
Just take this ball. Just take this ball and I'll stop it.
Lincoln, you got... Hey, man, see? Your mic works. Use it. All right, man. Now, again, I guess I'm going to have to re-listen back on some of this to see where the sound may have stopped. Really, you hear music dropping in and out? Do you hear my voice okay? Well, that's a problem if it's dropping in and out. I'm gonna have to fix something. Yeah, that's not good. All right, so anyway, let me know, and I'll fix it accordingly. I appreciate it, man. Thank you a million for the heads up. You are awesome. GJR Radio, I do appreciate it. Let me know if, that's the one thing I don't like about, well, really, I wish I had I don't know, though, I was reading the light, it said, but, yeah. So anyway, Myrtle's Plantation, I don't know if I need to go back, but part of this is a chapter of a spirited place. Several ghosts are commonly seen inside the house. One is thought to be a French woman who wanders from room to room. Now, I mean, I guess French woman. You know what? I've never been to France myself. Now, I didn't, you know, I'm a very unimportant person in the world. But have you ever been, you know, looking over at a woman and be like, that's a French woman? Well, anyway, it is according to a French woman who wanders from room to room. I hear the French women are pretty badass, though. I gotta. Another is a regular at the piano. That's badass. Unfortunately, this spirit only seems to know one chord, which is heard over and over, stopping suddenly when anyone walks into the room. Well, okay. A third is the ghost of a young girl who only appears right before thunderstorms. That's pretty cool. I mean, I guess if you're going to be a spirit and you're going to appear at any time, the best time is going to be right before thunderstorms. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I hope to God if I ever, you know, enter this, you know, whatever spirit world it is that they could be in, that it's going to be right before thunderstorms, especially in Oklahoma. Thunderstorms here are wonderful, man. When I lived in California, people, when I would tell them that I was from Oklahoma, they would look at me like, how the fuck did you live with those tornadoes? And I'm like, man, wait a minute. How do you live with these fucking earthquakes? Yeah, pick your battles, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, and there was a good point. I did, you know, and it's important. Anyway. Yes, so thunderstorms is good. Yeah, Oklahoma's got great thunderstorms. That's where I was, especially coming into the spring. Man, this year's not really been, I haven't heard much of a, you know, not at all. Not at all. Yeah, so I thought I'd wait with that for a minute because Everybody does not want to hear my voice. I know. Now, the spirits of two young girls have also been seen playing outside on the veranda. Hey. On the veranda. All right. Thank you. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Hey, thank you. Playing outside on the veranda, and guests have also felt their presence at night while laying in bed. Sometimes visitors feel pressure on the bed as though someone is jumping on them. That's a lot of pressure. Soon after, people report seeing the spirit of a maid who appears to smooth the covers. Love when that happens. Another young girl with long curly hair has been seen floating outside the window of the toy room. She appears to be cupping her hands as if she's trying to see inside. I hate when that happens. Some visitors report seeing a Confederate soldier on the porch. Others have seen the spirit of a man that warns them not to go inside. That's forewarning. Many people have glimpsed apparitions of slaves doing their chores inside the mansion. I leave that one blank. And two other residents' ghosts that are certainly entertaining but have little connection to the plantation's rich history are those of a ballet dancer clad in a tutu and a Native American woman who appears naked in the outdoor gazebo. Oh, keep that one on empty straight too. Okay. The ghost of William Winter is also said to haunt the mansion. Winter lived at the Myrtles Plantation from 1860 to 1868, and again from 1870 until his death in 1871. Even span of numbers there. When an unknown assailant...
Podby needs to have a better... Man, I wish they did have a better, better sound adjustment. I mean, at least the way you could tell, but, I mean, yeah. Does everything sound... everything else sound okay? Man, I really appreciate you giving me a heads up. For sure. Which, by the way, hey, why I'm talking to you, man. I dig your show. I was checking out your show the other day. I do, man. I like it a lot. I just sort of got in. I've got a run, but I'm going to come back on and do another show. I got to see how much of this was not on sound, but yeah, I did want to say, man, I dig your show, man. I'll come on and say what's up. I try to look and see when people are coming on, you know, live and comment, but I do too. I've been using this mixer that I like a lot. It's one of those Rodecasters thing, and man, I totally dig it. I really do. I'm a drummer, so I use it for my drum stuff. But I actually, you know what, with the Bluetooth and everything, it actually works out really, really well. But hey, GJR, sorry. I gotta jump off here for a minute. But I will come on and say what's up on your show, man. I do. I dig your show a lot. So on that, everybody. Have a wonderful day. I'm going to have to finish this story later, but I appreciate all of you, and I will talk to you guys very shortly. I'm going to come back on here and do this. I might have to redo this whole thing. Anyway, guys, have a wonderful day. Lincoln, he says what's up. He says, man, don't go anywhere. What is up, everybody? Have a good day.